Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Nathan.
Hi, Demon team. I've been an active Demon student since the beginning of March. My diagnostic was a 155. My average LSAT score for my five most recent data points, which include a combination of full tests and timed sections combined to get a full test score, is 167, which includes my high score to date of 170. My question is this. What advice would you give a student who is currently grinding from the upper 160s to the upper 170s that you would not give to a student in the early days of their studies? P.S. My original draft of this email was 4 pages long, but after taking Nathan's advice, I was able to whittle it down to 2 short paragraphs. Although it was difficult editing out the very moving story about me and my childhood cat, your ruthless critique of grammar frightened me into doing so. Thank you for helping me become a better person.
Okay. Well,
better cool. Person. Wow.
This is actually a great email though, because it set it up and then gave us a question. And I do have an answer to this. I think people who are going into moving into the 170s, upper 170s, especially, there can't be any question that you let go. Figure them all out. Whereas I feel like people who are just starting out, especially in the 140s, 150s, do the section, do the best you can on the first 10, 15, maybe even 18 or so questions, and figure them out. If there's some that you're just like, no, I have no idea what the fuck is going on, and it's a level 5 question, let it go. You got plenty of stuff that you can work on and get better at. But that's not true for people who are scoring in the 170s.
Yeah, I mean, to score in the upper 170s, which is what Nathan says he wants, you're going to need to essentially get them all right. You don't necessarily have to finish the section, but you do have to get them all right. Like all the ones you're going to do, you have to get them right.
And when you're done with the section, you're still going to do the ones you didn't attempt, right? It's not like you're
those other
like,
ones
oh,
and
I'm
make sure
here.
That you yeah. that you can get them. Absolutely. Yeah. One thing that came to mind for me is that in the days when I used to do a lot of one-on-one tutoring, the thing that I think we talked about the most when it was like a 168 trying to make it to 173, they frequently did not really understand the difference between a sufficient assumption question and a necessary assumption question on logical reasoning. They had learned assumptions in some weird way where it was like, well, I'm looking for the missing piece of the argument. And it's like, nah, not really. They're asking you two different types of things. On a necessary assumption question, they're asking you which one has to be true according to the author. And on a sufficient assumption question, they're asking you which one, if true, is going to prove the conclusion of the argument. So they're two entirely different questions. And I have seen lots of students make it up to 165 without ever understanding that difference. But it's going to be really hard for you to crack the 170s without understanding that difference. One more thing, just before I forget it, you do need to score perfectly on the logic games. Maybe that's obvious, Nathan, if you've been studying for a while, but like people don't make it into the 170s, especially they don't make it into the high 170s if they're not reliably perfect at the logic games. And I wouldn't say that to a, you know, like a 140 student, I would say, hey, eventually we want you to be perfect on these games. But for somebody who's trying to get there like now, you need to be perfect on the games.
The one thing I would add here, too, is that someone who's going into the 170s or in the 170s and trying to go higher should expect more from themselves when they're reviewing a question. So, for example, if you get a question wrong and you're a little lost, maybe start reading the explanation and then stopping and trying to carry the ball from there. I think when people are first starting out, there's so much that's new to them. Hey, sit back, read the explanation, let us guide you to the answer. The more work you can do, the better, but at some point you just gotta kind of be taught. But when you're in the 170s, you really need to take a clue, stop there, and then see if you can carry that clue all the way to the finish line. Because ultimately, the more you do, the more you're gonna be able to do on your own during the test.
Last thing, and I would say this to everybody, but especially to students who are trying to grind it into the upper 170s. I think that you should be using the ask button from time to time. It's related to Ben's, you know, not letting go of questions and having higher standards and really expecting to fully understand. If you struggle with a question and if you read the explanation, don't settle for, yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense. Instead, use the ask button and ask a clarifying question. I think many times by asking that clarifying question, you're actually going to figure it out for yourself. You'll see some nuance that you didn't see until you started writing the question. You know, that's similar to like printing out your personal statement and reading it off of a piece of paper. You put it in a slightly different context and all of a sudden you start to see things you didn't see before.
Yeah.
Right. So asking an ask button question on a like if you've read the explanation, you've watched the videos, you've thought about it, and then you try to write a really thoughtful question. If you don't answer it for yourself, then we're happy to help you. And that might be the difference. You know, that there might be something there that you're just not, it's not really clicking with you. And maybe the help from the ask team will get you there.
Well, also, if you're at that level with the LSAT, your quandary or your concern with our explanation could have merit, right? I'm constantly teaching these questions in class, after class, looking at the written explanations and saying, you know, this could be a little bit better. We could refocus this explanation on this word because this word is really the killer here. And maybe our explanation isn't perfect. There's 10,000 questions. So we're constantly trying to make them better and better and better. But maybe you actually have a valid point. And instead of settling for our explanation, you actually bring the explanation up. And that's where the real click takes place because now it all fits together.
Yeah. We need help, by the way, with these explanations. So if you do get an official 170 something on record and you want to come work with us, you could do that. You just have to email our help team, help@lsatdemon.com. Send them a screenshot of your official score report and a video of you teaching a question, a real LSAT question. And maybe you'll come work with us. We've had people do that before. You know, they've already got a 173 on record, but they're trying for higher and they come work for us for a while. I can think of no better way to move from a 171 to a 179 than to actually like teach or write or whatever. And we do have opportunities for the right folks. So again, help@lsatdemon.com if you're interested in working with us while you prep.
Thanks for writing in, Nathan. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.